Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in. This is Adesoji Speaks Knowledge, a show for seekers of authentic information on Africa, past and present. I am your host, Adesoji Eginla, an African history scholar with years of study in the bag. For more information on Africa's history and geopolitics, subscribe to Adesoji Speaks Knowledge on YouTube. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Hello and welcome to Adesoji Speaks Knowledge, the podcast where I share my thoughts and insights on various issues related to Africa and Africans at home and in the diaspora. I am your host, Adesoji Eginla, and welcome to another exciting episode. In this one, we will be exploring the intricate connections between history and generational trauma. You might be wondering where this topic came from. Well, this topic stems from a statement made by the host of Uncomfortable Conversations, Emmanuel Acho, on a podcast, Higher Learning, but more on that later. But why are we delving into generational trauma? But why not? You might. It's an often overlooked, impactful aspect of human experience. Sometimes it can actually be transmitted from one generation to the other. And not only through direct experiences, but also through cultural norms, like what to do and what not to do, behaviors, you know, societal structures also come into play. But to truly understand what generational trauma means, we must of all, first of all, recognize that as Africans, history plays a pivotal role in our collective consciousness. If we look at the role history plays, we have to truly understand it's not merely a series of events confined to the past, but it's a living entity within us. It shapes our interaction, not just within families, communities, but also, you know, the wider societies. So in the context of Nigeria, and by extension, the larger Africana experience, we're looking at the transatlantic slave trade, which happened between the 14th and the 18th century, colonial oppression with systemic racism stemmed into it from the 1800s to the mid-20th century, and the continued assault on you. Then begin to understand how we can suffer trauma. The annals of history is stained with instances of injustice, many of which I've alluded to in those time periods. Which then brings me to the statement made by Emmanuel Acho. And the statement reads, I want to be specific with regards to what he said. He was on a podcast on Higher Learning with host Van Leyten and Rachel Lindsay. And he said, and I quote, no doubt about it. So I grew up with black people. I grew up with Nigerian people. I grew up with white people. As a result, I know when white people say, well, racism doesn't exist. I know why they say that. Because I have been in them rooms when they're saying that when I kick back with black people and they're like, all white people are racist. I know why you're saying that. All the while I have the privilege and the luxury of not having generational trauma because my parents were born in Nigeria. So man, my method is removing some of the sting because I don't have that sting and trying to deliver a message in a manner that people can receive it, end quote. That statement is so laden with the scars of colonization which run deep in the psyche of entire communities and shapes their worldview, influencing how they see the world. Because for him to say, "I get it, but I am willing to take out a sting," well, let me explain something. Generational trauma shows up in so many ways, permeating every aspect of our society. For instance, let's take a look at Nigeria, Mr. Acho's ancestral home. The country has been a crime scene from its very existence. And I think the victims should actually be allowed to give an impact statement. It would be funny if that's not the case. But unfortunately, the perpetrators of said injustice are given a free pass. If we're to read meaning into, "My method is removing some of the sting because I don't have that sting and I'm trying to deliver a message that people can receive it," end quote. This is making excuses for an unjust system that should be held responsible. And it's not the responsibility of victims like Emmanuel Acho. Unfortunately, he might not understand that he's actually a victim of the system. Because if you are trying to mold yourself in a situation where you don't seem to be offensive, then the system has won. I mean, still on the Nigerian situation, let's look at the field of violence called Nigeria. In 1895, Akasa, the mouth of the Niger Delta, was the scene of a killing, reprisal killings by the Royal Niger Company, a British concessionary company, simply because the people of Cocoa Town decided to challenge the trade practices of the company. In 18, the Benin Kingdom would bear the brunt in what was then known as the Benin Expedition for daring to resist the British, who wanted to violate their ritual rites. That incident actually led to Benin bronzes and the artifacts being looted and scattered all over the world. The number of deaths from that expedition could not be ascertained due to the industrial nature of the killings, which was the employment of the Maxim gun, a gun that could spit out 600 rounds a minute. In 1929, 55 women who gathered in Aba in the eastern part of Nigeria to protest the proposed taxation of women by the colonial authorities were shot in the back as they fled. The colonial excuse was that they feared it might lead to a riot. I'm sure people who are conversant with the happenings in the West in terms of extrajudicial killings by the police would understand that excuse sounds very familiar. And to add insults to the heroic women's memory, some history books still refer to the event as a riot to justify the killing, wherein it was just a protest. On the 18th of November 1949, the British police were again unleashed violence on 21 Enugu miners. Enugu still being in the eastern part of the country, and would injure another 51. Their crime? Seeking fair wages. Let that sink in. Seeking fair wages. In 1956, the discovery of crude oil in commercial quantities will end up becoming a generational curse for the entire people of the Niger Delta. And nowhere is this ecological devastation more prominent and acute than in Ogoniland. And series of protests at the injustice had led to the execution of playwrights, novelists, and writer Ken Saro-Wiwa on November 10, 1995. Again, on trumped-up charges. In May 1967 to January 1970, it was 30 months of violence, known as the Biafra War or the Nigerian Civil War, with an estimated over 1 million deaths, mostly from starvation. Now, these events still loom large over the psyche of Nigerians. Now, you begin to see why that Emmanuel Acho statement comes across as callous and ill-informed at best. But thankfully, there is a cure for ignorance, and it is called information. I will read out a couple of books to help cure this malaise. First would be What Britain Did to Nigeria by Max Cilio. Next would be A History of Nigeria, in fact, a Texan Professor by Professor Toyin Falola. The Open Sore of a Continent by Wole Soyinka. Blood and Bronze by Paddy Doherty. Genocide in Nigeria by Ken Saro-Wiwa. The Biafra Story by Frederick Forsyth. And of course, a book that actually talks about the scourge of colonialism, although fiction, but still very poignant, Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. I have saved the best for last. And the reason is, you would see in the title, it's Black Skin, White Mask by Frantz Fanon. Let the title of the book alone say what the entries of the book alludes to. In fact, let me just give you a quick synopsis. Frantz Fanon's Black Skin, White Mask is very poignant for people who want to placate or act as intermediaries with the oppressors. So a situation where we are saying that I am trying to take a sting out of cry for justice, a pushback against injustice, and you put aside a softener of what the intended message should be, you'll be seen as being part of the problem, not the solution. So yes, you might be having quote-unquote uncomfortable conversations, but uncomfortable conversations that has been watered down, that has no bearing. First, you're even trying to placate people who don't even see you. I mean, let that sink in. It's a difficult position to be in. And I don't quite understand what the motivation is. Except if the motivation is not to intercede, but to act another role. I shudder to think what that role is. So finally, we have to understand that generational trauma can play out in so many ways. Even Emmanuel Acho, who said, "I don't think I suffer generational trauma." There's a reason his name is Emmanuel. That's due to Christianity. Like Okonkwo would say, the white man says our ways are bad, and our brothers who have taken up his religion also say our ways are bad. How can we fight? The white man was very clever. He came peaceably. And we allowed him stay. Now he has put a knife on the things that held us together. And we have fallen apart. That's from Things Fall Apart. Talking about the scourge of colonialism. The imposition of religion. The imposition of mannerism. That is generational trauma. I remember attending school. Anyone who schooled in Nigeria would remember when you couldn't speak your native language in school. You were reprimanded, put on detention, asked to write lines in your exercise book. English was forced down your throat that you must learn it. That is generational trauma. For the teachers to think that is a means of instruction that has to be carried out in line of the fact that you're actually looking at someone who looks like you, or you're telling them that you have to converse in a foreign language. That is generational trauma. Going home and speaking to your parents in a foreign language is passing down generational trauma. Wearing foreign clothes, a bit in the West, is, or back home, like Fela would make popular in his song, Colonial Mentality. You know, so you begin to see all of these problems, but because you've not sat down, be quiet, understand the implications of everything. And in fact, the fact that I'm conversing with you on this podcast in a language that is not mine is exhibiting generational trauma. I listen to music. Yes, music travails all cultures. But if I can't sing or speak in my language, it's an aspect of generational trauma. If I demean my culture, as some cultures in Africa are fast being eroded, that's another aspect of generational trauma. So it is important for us to understand how all this thread runs through our very existence. So by tracing this thread of trauma through history, we can begin to unravel the complex web of intergenerational suffering that not only plagues Africa, but the world as it is, especially the global South, and even our brothers and sisters in the Americas and Western Europe. So the legacy of Biafra, the legacy of the Bini punitive expedition, the ecological disaster. We must also spare a thought for the people of Haiti. That's an aspect of generational trauma. Our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean every day experience some level of generational trauma. So this thing goes down into the depth of our history. So by remembering and acknowledging the past and working together towards a future, we can break this chain. But pacifying the aggressors, the colonialists, the imperialists, in the spirit that they will acknowledge your humanity, is an exercise in futility. So listeners, if you found this episode insightful, do not forget to subscribe to Adesoji Speaks Knowledge for more thought-provoking analysis on various issues as it pertains to Africa and Africans, home and in diaspora. And as always, feel free to share your thoughts and feedback. It's very important to me. It will help me to grow this channel and this podcast. And together, Let's continue to explore the world around us with curiosity and compassion, which is very key. Because the world, Africans, not just at home, but in diaspora, we need to exhibit a bit of compassion to ourselves. Until next time, it is from me, Adesoji Gila. Peace. Have a lovely day. I hope you found this week's episode informative. Join us next week on Adesoji Speaks Knowledge as we continue to help you reframe the narrative about the African continent, past and present, by providing you with accurate information to give you a true and clearer picture of events as it pertains to Africa. Please remember to subscribe, like, and share. Thank you.